Skibbity beep bop.
And we're recording. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to
Suck Off.
The finale.
Willa gets the best fuck off of all time in this episode.
Who, Willa?
Yeah.
Wait, she did a fuck off here?
She did do a fuck off. Are you ready for me to tell you what it was?
Wait, was it when? Wait, yeah. Explain it.
Yeah, Frank goes, "How was the play?" And she knows that it got better for you. She goes, "Fuck off."
Yeah. She has so many good outbursts this episode, because there's that, and then there's the iPad throw, which is perfect.
God bless her. She won this episode.
She definitely won. Yeah, let's just get that out of the way. Willa won. There's so much to talk about.
The way I have like six pages of notes.
Yeah, no. Let's just get right into it. They're in Croatia.
I have no idea where they are.
My geoguesser is like, that's the Croatian flag, so... playing that game so much, I'm like, I know that's Croatia.
Yeah, that was a very normal thing to say to somebody.
Okay.
So, I'm wearing the same outfit as I was last year.
You are. We're recording this a different day, but same outfit.
I'm trying to convince everyone that I got laid.
Yeah.
That's a line from the show. Just,
you want me to be asked that question, be like, what happened? But yeah.
No, you know what really happened is I opened the door and Karsten went, same outfit. Scene one, episode 10 of This Is Not For Tears. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
These aren't for tears, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, scene one, Gregory Hirsch fucks himself before Congress.
If it is to be said, so it be, so it is.
You can talk to us normally. And so I shall.
And so I shall. Perfect. Glad we got to see a Greg. It seemed like it would be a deleted scene otherwise, but you know.
Right.
We got to see that. Meanwhile, Logan and Hugo are watching it in the backseat of the car. Mm-hmm. I was very curious on your take on that scene of Logan taking this call on the side of the highway.
So, things are not looking good for my boy.
No.
But what is like quite literally happening in the car is Logan has decided there needs to be a blood sacrifice.
Yes.
So there's an announcement like X, Y, and Z person knew about Cruises. We're firing them. Like, hopefully to get either the DOJ off our backs or at least, to win the shareholder meeting, not to get the DOJ off their backs.
Yes.
And, like, that's the person who's going to get the chop. So he's actually not watching Gregory Hirsch fuck himself before Congress because he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's writing in all caps in his notebook.
Right.
Like, different permutations of who's getting the chop.
Which I paused just to, like, look at it because I was like, interesting.
I love, like, the question mark. Kendall's written, like, two times. And there's a question mark near one of them. And, like, it's so good. He's remarkable penmanship.
Right.
And that's, like, the most unrealistic part about this show.
Is that Logan has great penmanship.
Yes. There is no way, sir.
He's a paper guy. He doesn't type. He's not true, with the computers. He's been on paper.
He seems like the type to like write and be like, you better understand this. You know?
Yeah, true.
But I guess for the camera, we need to understand what he said.
That was some like PA who wrote that. Right. Note.
Literally, there's some like, it was definitely a girl PA. I will say that much. Anyways, Hugo like looks and... Logan is circled like a brick of like Jerry, Frank, Carl, basically,
and me
meaning Logan, me meaning Christian Borky.
And I was like, wait, you're in the show.
And Hugo goes, that looks like good to me. And Logan's like, oh, knifing your boss, huh? Like, slippery little fuck. But then he fields a call on the side of the highway from a shareholder who's like, hey, man.
We think it should be you.
We think it should be you. Yeah. And Logan's like, and then I feel bad for old people. Because then Hugo's like, what, do you want a coffee or whatever? And he's like, I want...
Yeah.
And I'm like, no! I need to see my boy lose!
I thought you were going to say you feel bad for old people looking at the way Logan's on FaceTime and only like an eighth of his face.
Like from the bottom?
Yeah. He like, it's such an accurate like old person doing FaceTime, like not in the shot at all.
That's what I actually love about old people is they refuse to be correct about FaceTime.
Yeah, no. I'm jealous.
But yeah, then he's just like, it's all kind of washed in on him that, like, man, he's really fucked.
Mm-hmm,
I hate to see my boy lose. And then it's the theme song.
And then it's such a great episode because it's like they all come together on this massive yacht.
Yes.
And they have to decide who's making the blood sacrifice in this, like, contained space.
And I was going, like, scene by scene. I literally wrote, like, scene three. Shiv has Tom and herself up for a threesome. Blah, blah, blah. But it's like... I don't know. So much happens, and yet for a while, like nothing happens in the episode.
Yeah.
People are just like kind of talking, and it's tense, and it's like man, what's going to happen next?
Right, right.
But yeah, Shiv, meanwhile, has set up a threesome for her and Tom, which I love that for Shiv.
I love that for Shiv. She seems so excited about it.
I'm counting that as a win for bisexuals.
Yeah. She's kind of like, it's like a little reward to herself after this whole, whole season. Gets a threesome.
Well, she doesn't actually get a threesome, but she's convinced a member of the staff on the ship to do a threesome, which is so dumb.
Yeah, that's...
I've never heard anything stupider.
I think it's crazy to do that after an entire season of handling a bunch of cruise allegations.
Wait! I did not even think about that.
Yeah, it's a crazy choice at the end of the season.
Getting a worker on a boat to sexually satisfy a woman in power and her husband who also has a lot of power.
Yep.
That is nuts!
I think a lot... It is very intentional that they chose to put the last episode of the season on a boat.
Whoa.
Given the amount of like abuse and just... everything that happens in this episode.
Have other people made that observation?
I made it 2 seconds ago.
That's crazy, dude. That is nut.
We make our best points during the recording, not...
not in the notes, not thinking it.
Yeah, no. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I love that for us. Damn, that is fucking nutty. Naomi and Ken show up holding hands, and it's cute.
Yeah, they're so cute. I really like them. Yes. I'm not going to lie. I like them a lot.
They just fit well together. Like, yeah. They just look good. They're the same height.
As Kendall tells everybody in the show, she's good for him. Like, she's good for me.
Yeah.
And I like them.
I love it. And then Greg also has received an invitation to the boat.
Not impressed by the boat, weirdly.
Yeah. Like, not impressed by the rosé later.
Like, kind of shows his privilege, like, in a rare Greg moment where we're like, oh, come on, man. Get over yourself.
I wonder if it's him genuinely expressing distaste for the boat or if he's trying to, like, have an opinion. You know?
Yeah, try and fit in or something.
Yeah, because I know I've been asked about my opinion on various wines, and it isn't until, like, very, very recently until I've been able to decide what is or isn't a good wine.
Yeah.
And even then, it's tenuous at best of a grasp.
When you go to, like, a fancy restaurant and they pour you a glass and kind of wait for your approval... Have you ever been like...
I've never been in such a situation. No one's ever poured for me a glass of wine.
Okay, then I'm going to shut the fuck up before I expose my...
What do you do?
Well, I've been to like fancy restaurants, you know, when you like get the bottle and then they come out and they like...
I'm nodding as if they can hear me nodding.
They pour a little bit and then they like wait for you and you're like, yeah. And then they like... Because if you don't like the wine, they'll like send it back and bring you a different...
Damn, well then what do they do with that fucking wine?
That's why I asked.
It's probably
like,
for the staff.
I have never shaken my head. I've never been like, no. I'm always like, fuck yeah, I'm going to get the... What's wrong with
right.
this? Like,
a man came over and poured wine for
me. I'm like, it would be so rude. But I guess it's just something I've thought about with fancy restaurants.
I feel like from what little I know about the service industry, because like, I've never worked in like a fancy restaurant, I have to imagine that's for the staff later.
It's got to be for the staff. Yeah. They open the bottle.
Right.
Everybody's going to enjoy it. Yeah.
Precisely.
Anyway.
Tangent. Greg does not have aesthetically pleasing toenails.
Exactly. He's got some sort of fungus.
Benign.
Yeah. And Con and Willa. Well, Connor's going through the memes from his performance, his own theatrical play.
It's so funny because when I was watching it, I like laughed and said to Sarah, like, oh, Connor in the background just went like this.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that was going to be memed later.
Of course.
Like, I totally forgotten that was like not a plot point, but you know what I mean? So I was like, damn, that's funny.
He's like, the Conheads are going crazy for this. And then the reviews are bad.
The reviews for Willa's play are terrible, and he's sunk a lot of money into that play.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then she sunk the iPad into the
whoa,
the bay.
Cinematic parallels. Yeah. That's cinema, baby. And then Roman has arrived back from Asia, and I'll talk about his arrival in a second. But then he goes, why is Greg here? And then, I'm sorry, Kendall was like, why is Greg here? And Roman goes, I always ask myself that. Anyways, Roman has arrived back from Asia, and everyone's like trying to clown him, like, who'd you suck off to get here?
He looks not happy about it.
No! So then he goes, actually, it was really traumatizing. And you think in the Roman way, like, I think he's made jokes like this before, or he will in the future, where he's like, yeah, like, actually, you're adopted. You know, like, he starts to do that. But when he was like, yeah, actually, it was really scary.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
he seems like a changed man, genuinely.
Yeah. It really, like, put some hair on his chest overnight.
And it's so still very mysterious what happened. Like, what actually happened when they were there.
Literally.
But basically, they Laird is like, they agreed to go private. It seems like the deal is moving ahead and they all meet with Logan. Mm-hmm. But Roman is like, I'm not entirely confident on this. I don't think it's solid, which is like a big part of this, that it's like, if something's not solid, they can't go through with it.
Right. Because if they, like, you know, shake hands, start like doing the deal, negotiating like they did with the Pierces, you know, the Pierces agreed to sell.
Right. Right.
And then it falls apart halfway through.
Yeah.
Then like they're so fucked for forever.
Right. Right.
Because then, like, you know, you've wasted a shit ton of company time and money, and the shareholders will never back you ever again.
Yeah.
And it shows that you're desperate and bad at your job. So,
yeah.
Roman, based on, like, instincts and a bit of reasoning of, like, what, this Turkish prince is trying to, quote, diversify his portfolio with one $10 billion mega deal? Like,
yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. He would be better off, like, doing $1 billion in 10 different things or
right,
whatever.
Right, right.
So like, yeah, he said yes, but he seems like a 3 a.m. scotch kind of yes dude.
Yeah.
So Logan, knowing that Roman probably has really good instincts and knows people, is like, yeah, all right, dude, like, I'm not doing this if it's not solid.
Yeah, and Laird is pissed off about it.
Because Laird stood to make like $100 million
right.
off of this.
So he gets on a boat and leaves.
Yep, see you later, Laird.
So funny.
Goodbye, my friend.
Yeah, what?
I was going to say, it's probably one of my favorite Roman scenes where he really proves himself and, like, steps up. And it's, like, setting up a really exciting trajectory for season three, I think.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, like, it just seems like this whole episode between being sort of, like, a changed, traumatized man from this and, like, really stepping up in front of his dad, it all sets him up for a pretty good season.
Yeah.
I like that Laird is like, we should put a gun to his head more often.
This is either right before or right after Roman and Kendall and Shiv are just like hanging out.
I was going to say we should talk about that scene.
And Roman's like, hey, can we actually like be people who talk about stuff?
Uh-huh.
And then Shiv and Kendall, it's kind of cute and it's also not. Where they're like, can we talk about stuff?
Yeah.
We want to talk about a few weeks? And Shiv is a hilarious, like Sarah Snook is a hilarious voice actor.
So good. So is Jeremy Strong. Whatever his bird voice he's doing.
I don't know, something about Shiv's bird voice, I was just like, that sounds like a whole different human being. Mm-hmm, whereas Jeremy Strong sounds like Jeremy Strong being like, meh, 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 meh.
Right, right.
I loved it.
It was like, that's another scene where I'm like, damn, Roman is the mature one here. And I think he says that out loud. It's like, I can't believe I'm the mature one. And it's, yeah.
It's a fun character development for him.
Yeah. I love the shot. It's like one of the most iconic shots that starts that scene where it's like an overhead shot of them like laying in the pool and Ken has like this like cross pose.
Yeah.
Whoa. Like laying in the pool.
Oh shit. I never even thought of that.
I don't like reading into that kind of stuff too much, but knowing Jeremy Strong, he was probably like, I should do this pose. And
right.
I think it was entirely like, they were aware of the pose he was making in the pool.
That's 1,000% intentional, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's a great shot. It's just knowing. I also like the scene because it's sort of the moments before Logan arrives,
mm-hmm.
and they're able to. They just seem really relaxed and to enjoy themselves. And then as soon as like the death, whatever they say,
the death copter, whatever it is,
yeah, it's just like the mood changes completely, and it's. I like the tender moment of them right before.
I also do love moments of tenderness between the siblings.
Yes.
I did not realize that Kendall was in like that. The martyr position, shall we call it.
It's a crazy shot.
Damn. I just love, the only thing I wrote down is that it's a pool within a pool.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so
they're
good.
On water and that he's it's like this man-made water inside of a boat. Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah. I was going to ask if you've ever been on a cruise or something.
No,
I'm nature.
So terrified. Okay.
Me too.
This is going to be like a long tangent.
Okay.
I always sit in the back of the bus or in the back of movie theaters because I'm terrified someone's going to throw up on me.
Yeah.
And so.
Especially on a plane. Do you do that? Because
on airplanes,
like,
no. The seats are at least taller. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't have a choice of where I sit on an airplane.
Airplane, actually, yeah. Because if you take it off and someone appears, it goes back.
Right. It goes back into you.
Yeah.
So much in the same way, I'm terrified of vomit, and I will never, ever set foot on a cruise because to me, it seems like there's always, I mean, like this is just media or whatever. You ever hear of the Princess Diamond cruise?
No.
It was this giant fucking cruise that sailed from like March 1st of 2020 to like, it was supposed to be like April 1st, 2020. And guess what happened in the middle of that?
Right, right. I did
they were like quarantining
this.
passengers were dying, like, and there was so much footage. There's like a documentary somewhere of like
a nightmare
passengers having like this high quality footage of being like locked in the rooms, and there's an announcement of like guest 876 has like died, or like if you're, you know, European, you get to get off the boat, or if you're American, you get to get off the boat, or whatever. Like, oh,
That's insane.
Never will I ever set foot on a cruise.
Yeah, no. I have no urge. Seems awful.
You've never done a cruise?
No, no.
I love that for us.
Absolutely
it's
not.
Vomit, it's like an enclosed area. It's like activities right. I don't generally enjoy.
We were in Miami, and I saw like the giant cruise ships there. And I'm like, it looks like a lot of space, but you got to understand, most of that is other people's rooms. Like the space that you have is just your room, a shared like cafe, and like the pool. It's like you can't actually go that far in a cruise.
I'm
and
nodding
you're stuck
emphatically.
There. It's
yes.
Horrible.
And it's so crazy. My boyfriend's retirement plan is playing piano on cruise ships.
Well, that sounds nice. That... I
mean, God bless him.
So yeah, Tom.
Shit, what are we doing again? Logan and Kendall discuss. Like, after this scene with Roman being like, we're not going to go private, Logan and Kendall have a meeting. And then Kendall's like, is it going to get choppy? Which I thought was funny because they're on the water. And then Logan has, like, kind of a really fun character moment where he says, a good Catholic who couldn't even take off his undershirt in front of his wife or ex-wife or whatever she is.
Yeah,
like, now I'm taking the blame for the sex scandal, cruises stuff.
Uh-huh.
What's your read on that? Do you think he's being genuine? Like, he's never been a sex pest in any form?
Yeah.
In the environment?
Well, I think I spoiled it a little bit in the last episode because I brought up this line.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd seen this before I agree. I don't think he's a sex guy. And I tied that back to the, like, can't take his shirt off because of the scars thing. But, I just don't know if that's Logan. It's the same. He's got the same thing that Roman has in a way. Whatever that...
Whoa.
Diseases that these Roys have where they can't share this like intimate moment with people because it's like they don't know how to show that. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like I wouldn't call Logan a sex pest guy.
It makes me wonder, number one, if Marcia was lying when she said that they still have sex, or if she wasn't, like, what kind of sex do they have?
I know, exactly. That's why I'm in agreement that we need a Logan sex scene in season 4.
We need a Logan sex
scene. Only because we need to know what it's like, what that is.
Mm-hmm.
For research.
Me and the Logan gang, we really need it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then Connor and Logan have a tough little conversation. I'm sorry that I'm going like literally point by point, which
thank you, because I'm like lost in my notes, so
and Logan, have their little conversation where Connor's like, can I have just a quick 100 milli? And Logan's like,
I didn't mean to drop my phone.
He literally sighed, rolled his eyes, and dropped his phone on the ground.
Whole body went limp at that line. Which a crazy line.
Crazy.
I was just watching. I'm sorry, so many tangents this episode, but I was just watching this video where it was like an auction for a Monet in some museum. Mm-hmm. And he's like, 90 million, 91 million. And she's like, 92 million. And he's like, you need to go up to 93. And she's like, but 92, please. And it's like a crazy, like, rich. I'm like, what's the difference between 92 and 93? Just $1 million is. Anyway.
Huh.
So I'm just like, Connor being like, oh, just a nice little 100 million.
Tiny
I'm
little
like,
honey mill.
Rich people are so disconnected.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I love that for him, though.
And yeah, Logan's basically like, fuck you, no.
He's like, if you drop out of the presidential race, of course I will. Which I don't think he does.
Yeah. The line cuts like a knife. He's like, everybody thinks you're a joke and you're embarrassing me. And I'm just like... Jesus, because it's like we were all thinking it. The thing is, he's so right, but it's just like you could see it hurts.
It hurts so bad because Connor's the only one who ever tries to actually connect with Logan, and like, yes, he does always want money from him.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, like the things he wants from Logan are always less like backstabby and whatever-y than the other kids. It's much more simple of an ask, I guess.
Right.
So it just hurts more that he sincerely does try to emotionally connect with Logan and Logan is just like not having it.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's right before this that Logan tells Kendall that he doesn't really like Naomi or doesn't trust them together.
Yeah, it's somewhere around here.
Yeah, it's...
Here's how it happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, first of all, it cuts to the scene where Willa gets the best fuck off in the show.
Right.
And here's the thing. It's like all the, like, execs like Carl and Frank and Jerry and Roman hanging out. And Roman starts, like, clowning the others, and he starts being like, oh, Frank, I heard it's going to be you.
Yeah.
We all heard it was going to be you. And Jerry's, like, so, like, quietly smiling, like, and she's sitting like closer and closer to Roman, and he's like leaning into her, and then it immediately cuts to like Naomi and Kendall having a fun romantic moment.
Yeah,
so it's like, girl, come on. I'm just so into Jerry and Roman, and I love their little moments of love.
I'm relishing in like them this season because it's just so.
Don't you dare say anything.
I'm not gonna say a damn thing. I love the running like insult between the Roys of like using real people, like you're not a real person, as like insults, because I think Roman says something like that to Carl.
Yeah.
He's like, you're not a real person. None of us are real. And I'm thinking back to a line in like season three that I keep jumping ahead to season three.
I know, you said I'm thinking back to a line that happens in the future. I have no idea what you're talking about either, so this will be fun to find out.
It's a certain someone tells another person that you're not a real person. Mm. And it's just, I don't know why that line means so much to the Roys. I think because they're so detached from actual humanity and like what it means to be a person, that it's like, to like say that to their face, it like,
nuts.
I don't know. Just something I'm thinking about. And then the whole no real person involved thing, like all the ways they use the...
We will talk about that.
We will talk about that.
But for now, Logan and Kendall are standing there because Naomi's like jumped in the water. And he's like, basically he just cuts right to it. Like, I don't want Naomi here. And Kendall's like, come on, she's cool though. And he's like, I don't want you all like fucked up on drugs.
Yeah.
Which is maybe true, but also like, goddamn, Logan controls every aspect of Kendall's life. Like, keeps him bitchless. Keeps him like right under his thumb. It just sucks.
Yeah. It's kind of going forward with this whole subplot. There's a scene where Logan wakes up the next day and there's a shot of like the empty pillow next to him and Marcia never showed. Mm-hmm. There's just a really sad phone call where he's like, she didn't come and he's just like left alone. Immediately after that is the scene where Naomi gets on the boat and takes off and Kendall's just sitting there alone, and it's like,
and right before that Shiv and Tom like attempt to do this threesome and then they don't have sex. It's like everybody's bitchless.
Yep Yeah, no, it's a sad moment for the Roys.
Yeah, people are not getting it.
No, people are not. Yeah,
they're not, because Shiv is the Roy in the situation who like wants to have sex and like in some way wants her own like connection or whatever. So she's bitchless, then Logan's bitchless, then Ken is bitchless.
Yeah. Talking a little bit about Shiv, they have their threesome attempt. And Tom word for word is like, I don't know about the death sentence vibes on the bar. There are death sentence vibes.
Yeah. Could I watch or could she watch
she
us?
Watch in the bathroom? Locked behind the door.
He's so real. I feel so much for him in this moment. Because also, like, this is what I've heard from a lot of male friends, is there's, like, a lot of pressure to perform in bed. And I'm like, man, that's so sad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the pressure to, you know, get hard and do that sort of thing.
Yeah. And I feel like Tom, especially at this point in the show, after the court thing and everything, like, he just has the least confidence of anybody on that boat. So it's like, of course he's not in a sexy mood, like
right. It just makes me feel for men. I in this one situation, I will hand it to men, because it's like, sex should not be a performance. It should be like fun. Yeah. You know, it's not like we're all the world's a stage.
Right,
you know?
Right. I love Tom representing all men. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah. So that's followed up with they go to the beach the next day. I'm kind of just like going character by character. It feels like the easiest way to go this. They go to this, well, they're trying to find the perfect cove.
And Tom has the richest line in the show where he's like, next cove, please, Julius. But he says it in his top voice, so it's so funny.
Julius? Yeah. Which is such a sad scene. It's one of the most iconic scenes in the show because it's like finally Tom saying something about this relationship. And
yes,
he has the line like, I wonder if the sad I'd be without. Yeah, please.
I think if I think about it, I think a lot of the time I'm pretty unhappy. I love you. I just wonder if the sad I'd be without you would be less than the sad I get from being with you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is like so true.
It's
like,
so real.
It's a very real line for like an abusive relationship like that. You know, I feel like Tom's being abused in a lot of ways.
Well, okay, I hate that you said that, because I was just about to be like, I got out of a really long relationship that was not abusive. But, like, choosing to exit a relationship you've been in for a long time, like, at some point you're, like, you have the sunk cost fallacy in your head, like, I spent so much time with you, and, like, I'm afraid to be alone, and, this isn't working anymore. Is there a world where it starts working again? I don't know. Is the sad that I'm feeling right now less than the sad I'd be, like, breaking up?
That's true.
Yeah. I know. It's just, like, such a real line.
Yeah. It's a very, it's a, like, rare human line in a show where they do not know how to say things like that. Like, and, of course, it comes from outside of the family, and it comes from Tom. It's like, and Shiv's reaction, I think she...
She says, I'm sorry, I'll talk to Logan.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's like, no, I'll talk to Logan.
Right, because I guess the thing we skipped over is the whole scene where everyone's talking, like, pointing fingers at who would make a good sacrifice.
Yeah.
And then Shiv said, Tom makes sense.
Right.
So, yeah, he was... That's where the confrontation started on the Cove. Yeah. He was like, come on, what was that, man?
Sorry, I skipped over that whole scene. I just got excited.
It's totally fine. I want to talk about that scene.
We have to talk about that scene, yeah.
So, Logan starts it off... Well, first of all, Naomi starts it off being like, Kendall, Logan doesn't love you. He loves the broken you.
Right,
and then sends him off to go to this conversation. Logan says, most things don't exist. The Ford Motor Company hardly exists. It's a time-saving expression for a collection of financial interests. But this exists because we're a family. Which is still playing with that concept of, like, what is real or not real.
Yeah.
I thought... The Ford Motor Company is a time-saving expression for a collection of financial interests. It's such a hard fucking line.
Yeah.
It, like, I don't know. It just, like, codifies a lot of very abstract things about business for me personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Sorry. I'm, like, I'm piecing together that and also the thing that Roman said, or not Roman, Logan, about, like, family and what is real. And I'm, like, if you're not directly... supporting or helping Logan under this, like, if you're not in the family, you're not real, it's not, like, nothing matters. Big line.
It's a big, it's a big line.
Juicy line.
It's so thick and juicy. Yeah. So then it becomes, you know that scene, have you ever seen Into the Woods?
No.
Okay, well.
I'm sorry.
There's this patter song where they're all trying to figure out whose fault it is that, like, all this shit happened. And they're like, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. And then they all, like, have reasons, and it's, like, a pattery song. Anyway, that scene just basically happens at a dinner table on a boat. Kendall votes Jerry first, and Logan immediately is like, no, we're not sacrificing Jerry.
Yeah, hands on her hands, which is, like, kind of a crazy moment. But, yeah.
Do you think Jerry and Logan have ever fucked? Because that was heavily talked about, like, the last couple episodes.
I was
going to
say,
Ray
someone asked that. I don't... No, wait. Who is it that says it? And then Roman's like, no, no.
I think it might have been Kendall, honestly. Yeah. I think it was when they were on the airplane talking about Rhea, and they're like, do you think they're fucking? And I think Kendall was like, well, I mean, hasn't Dad fucked every new, like, senior woman?
Yeah. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. That does not do anything for me.
And that's so fair.
And that's fair, yeah. So, yeah, it basically just jumps to different people as they call each other out.
Tom calls Carl a sausage thief. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Because why me, sausage thief?
Yeah.
And then somebody pitches Tom and Greg, which is awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Just calls him Greg Sprinkles.
Yeah. Because
they're like, I don't know if Tom is big enough. And then Roman's like, well, why don't we just, like, scatter some Greg Sprinkles on it?
Literally the opening line of the romantic comedy trailer. Yeah. And then Connor calls it Elmo and Big Bird, which is pretty damn awesome.
So perfect.
Yeah, and then Connor tries to sacrifice himself and everybody laughs.
Yeah, they're like, thanks, Con.
All right.
Anyway.
They're all like, anyways.
Yeah. I think the takeaway from that scene is that Tom... coming out of Shiv, too, looks like the best option. And I think it's the fact that Shiv said it that, like, hurts. I'm like, why would you?
So bad.
And there's a lot to that. There's a lot to how Shiv goes about the selecting process moving forward that matters. But, yeah.
So then Logan and Kendall go to see Stewie to sort of do, like, a Hail Mary sort of deal.
Needed you to explain this scene for me.
Yeah, so they've come to basically be like, listen, I know that all you want is money. Like, that's why you're doing this whole hostile takeover in the first place.
Yeah.
We're offering you a deal where you can have, like, more... Ooh, uh-oh. Oh. Rubber Waggy. He knocked over a water bottle. They come to basically be like, so I don't know how much I can explain the actual offer that they give beyond like, you can have more power in the company.
Yeah.
More shares means like more money for you.
Right.
And you'll be able to like choose the next CEO as well.
Yep.
Like you'll get all the things you wanted and we can stop all of this costly litigation over like this, you know, Bear Hug has to take over. And Stewie is like, no. And then what he says, wait, let's see. I wrote exactly what he says down. Stewie basically is just like, no. Also, he says it in a gay way. I don't know. He's just so fruity, and I love him.
Well, he's like, when Kendall shows up, he's like, you look sweaty, man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's noticing.
And then they're like, oh, he's noticing how Kendall looks.
Yeah.
And then they're also like, damn, like, you started eating without us. Like, you could have waited. And he's like, no, I was hungry. He's so real. Anyways. Kendall starts being like, what do you mean no? We're gonna like cut off your dick and like cut off a bajillion dicks.
Yeah.
And, and what he says is, you can threaten to stuff a million severed dicks up my ball bag, but the fact is we convince a few more shareholders every day that they can make a little bit more money on their dollar with us, and that's all this is.
Yeah.
Which is just like so cold. I love it.
It's cold, but it's real. It's like that he understands what he's doing and his place in this. And their threats don't really matter to him.
Which is kind of how it being a family business is what makes it toxic.
Exactly.
Like, he just does this for money. And they have all these issues because, like, they want control of the family empire. They want to, like, I don't know. That's exactly it. They want control of the family empire. And they want to have control over their own finances. And Stewie's just like, I want more money.
Right.
So what are we doing here? And you guys do not make me more money.
Mm-hmm. Man, it kind of adds to the pile of examples in the show when they make that case that like people not in the family, like when family's not involved, shit gets done a little bit better, because Logan says, and I don't spoil the end of this episode, but he's like, you need to be a killer. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you're in the family, it's harder to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it still happens. But anyway,
I love Stewie. He's so gay.
Yeah.
So then, like, right after that is when the Shiv and Tom scene happens.
Right, right.
And then it follows up with the best scene on the show of Tom eating Logan's chicken.
Yes. Well, that scene, it is, like, one of the funniest. Seeing it out of context, too, is so funny. I didn't realize it came directly after the beach scene, which makes it so much better. Especially because, like, it's one of those rare Logan moments where he, like, just looks like a normal guy eating his chicken. And he's like, hey, Tom. And then thank you for the chicken. He's just asserting his dominance, I guess.
Yeah, I think he's just snapped and doesn't know. Like, that's something he would do to Greg, you know?
Right. He has no idea how to show power, so he just takes Logan's chicken.
Mm.
And then Logan to Shiv is like, what's next? He's going to stick his cock in my potato salad? So good.
And then Shiv just, like, completely fucking blows it here. She demonstrates her loyalty to Tom, and I guess not to Kendall, by sticking in a relationship that she doesn't even like, to be like, please don't sacrifice Tom.
Yeah.
It is baffling to me that that is the choice that she makes. Not baffling. Like, it just sucks for her.
It's baffling to me that she isn't, like, and I don't mean to sound the wrong way, but, like, punished by Logan more, because it seems to go so far against what he believes in. Because it's, like, she goes against the family, like, betrays Kendall, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't kill Tom when she needs to. It's such a betrayal that I'm like,
I think Logan's got like 7,000 conflicting interests here, right?
Yeah.
If he kills Tom, then Shiv, like in the game of 4D chess, Shiv will never forgive him. And that will cause problems.
Yeah.
Whereas you have Kendall, who is a better fit than Tom. Like, it really is. And like, you have this utmost power over him, even though like he's your, I mean, I know he's a second born son, but like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, he's basically the first born son.
Right.
Like, oh, you know what? We'll actually talk about it in a couple seconds, but like, I can see how he would choose to like, I can see why he would choose Kendall over Tom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Shiv like contributing to that is ultimately her fatal mistake. Like, this is just, it seals her coffin. Like, she's never gonna be CEO. He even says, this is a tough choice that senior people have to make when they're the CEO. And she's like, I cannot do it. And he's like, all right.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, that's more punishment than anything. Like, him saying, okay, they're both with a mutual understanding that she will never be the CEO.
Yeah. That's how I read that scene in the end, when she goes, I can't choose. Because even she seems a bit in that acceptance period where she's like, I'm just not going to be that. Like, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
And then, you know what's pretty interesting? Yeah. Is that then the scene after is completely silent. Okay. Kendall is sitting over there with his headphones in. And
yes.
Tom is sitting there and Shiv like enters the room and Tom is sitting like kind of in front of Kendall. Uh-huh. You know what she does? Pats him on the shoulder and like looks at him because she has saved him. She has like demonstrated her loyalty to Tom with a very distinct pat on the shoulder and then walks over to Kendall, who she has betrayed.
Yes. Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying with this blocking?
Are we talking about...
We're talking about things that haven't happened yet.
Oh. Okay, because I was like, I know what I'm thinking, and I don't know if I... You're thinking... Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying with this blocking? This
those who have seen a certain scene...
Those who know versus those who don't.
Oh, my God.
I noticed
Why has someone not made a side-by-side yet?
I think I might have to, because they're also all wearing white in both scenes.
So good.
The people who are watching Succession for the first time are like, what the fuck are you two idiots talking about?
I need you to just remember this clip from this podcast episode. And, you know, when you get there, go back. Because holy shit. Oh, my God.
This is
blowing
nuts?
My mind. That's so sexy. That's
I was sitting there like, yo, this morning, too.
God, I love that. I love that so much.
Ugh. So then what she does is she goes over to Kendall. Again, like, this is a wordless scene and indicates to him that, like, Logan wants to talk to him.
Yeah.
Kendall enters the room with Logan, and Logan basically says, it's going to be you. Like, we are going to kill you. And what he says is a Marcia line. He's like, you know, I used to read about, like, the Inca people or whatever that, like, Marcia is descended from.
Right.
They used to do child sacrifices to the sun.
Yep.
And I thought those people are, he immediately says something racist. Those people are savages.
Yeah.
And then Marcia says, what could you possibly kill that you love so much? It'd make the sun rise again.
Yeah.
And Logan is like, it's you, Kendall.
Yeah. And I like how Kendall, basically halfway through him giving this whole spiel, is like, I know. Like, I know it's going to be me. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, Well, yeah, he learns this, and then he says, like, was it ever going to be me? Like, real talk. Which is why I think back to the Rhea thing when she says, like, it was always you. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that sticks with Kendall, because he knows, like, apparently everybody kind of thought it was going to be him. So it's like he asks Logan, and Logan gives his bullshit, like, oh, I don't know, maybe. Mm-hmm. As if that doesn't mean anything to him, and I'm like, stop.
Yeah.
And he says, you're not a killer. You have to be a killer.
Which is insane to say to someone who thinks he's a literal killer.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to say. He says, you're not a killer. You have to be a killer. But nowadays, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, Logan is actually doubting himself. So, like, I think even that little whatever shakes the foundation of it was never going to be Kendall. It's like, well.
Yeah.
Damn, maybe he really could have. But. Kendall thinks he might deserve it because he killed the boy.
Right.
And then Logan is like, that boy is an NRPI. Like,
no real person involved.
I can't even believe you're thinking about that. Like, it did not even occur to Logan that, like, the word killer might trigger Kendall in some way.
Yeah.
Or that he has this belief that, like, he has killed someone. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh my God. I forgot that he said, no, Kendall, come on, NRPI.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, that is, according to Jeremy Strong, and when the first time I watched it, like, when he brings up Kendall was not planning on a betrayal until he says no real person involved, and that is in Jeremy Strong's opinion. He says he doesn't know if this is true, but that's when Kendall decides that he is gonna do it, because he's like, that crossed a line. And it's also like, it's so cool that he's like, you're not a killer, and then Kendall's kind of like, well, I'm gonna go do some of that killing now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is there anything to talk about?
It's
before?
Pretty streamlined. Oh, so they return to the table where Logan makes the announcement. Mm-hmm. And
well,
he's
actually,
like,
Kendall kisses him on the cheek, and Logan returns no affection.
I took that kissing on the cheek as like, he does that, and Logan kind of gives it's such great acting from Brian Cox, because I'm like, what is he thinking? But it's kind of a look of, like, he knows something's about to happen. He's, like, not entirely trustworthy of him. And that was a big part in why he thinks it should be Kendall is he's like, I can trust you. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, you kind of leave that scene feeling like, I don't know what's going to happen here. Like, I don't know if Kendall can be trusted at this stage.
See, I'm really dumb when I watch TV. So I was like, damn, I can't believe Kendall's going to like go to jail. See, I did not pick up on any of that.
That same thing, like, I was so blinded by all the hints scattered throughout that I was like, oh, poor Kendall.
Yeah.
Which makes watching TV more fun.
Yeah. So then they come and one of the first things Jerry says when it's revealed that it's going to be Kendall, she's like, come on, your first, oh, I'm sorry, second born son. Yeah. Jerry. No yeah. reason for that.
Yeah.
And then they get on a plane and it's Kendall and Greg on the plane.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a fun callback to Greg, like being a watcher of Kendall. Yeah. Because, you know, Greg's like got his legs all twisted and Kendall's like, you can go to the bathroom. Like, I'm not going to jump.
Yeah.
And Greg is like, huh, okay, I just want to say like, like, sorry, dude. It's like, it's like really, yeah, you know,
it's so someone like in their 20s, like everything he's doing is just, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Walks away.
So then, oh my God, I think this is kind of where my notes end. Or they transition to all caps.
Right.
But yeah, based on, the cast of the plane ride, it seems like Greg was also put on Kendall duty, because it's like, why is it just Greg and Kendall?
Well, it was literally like the first line in the episode where I'm like, why is Greg here? Why is he here again? But yeah, he's put on Kendall duty.
And the actual plan is like, Kendall's going to do this press conference and own up to wrongdoing and basically like put himself on the cross.
Mirroring the first episode of the season where it's like the same delivery too, where Logan's like, you're going to go up there. You're going to say, this was all me. Like, I oversaw everything, and yeah.
So then, surrounded by paparazzi, mm-hmm. Kendall sits down at like the 6,000 microphones that are for some reason in front of him.
Yep.
And he says, I'm here to make a statement because it was suggested that I would be an appropriate person to talk about the illegality of the firm.
Yes.
But. And I'll tell you, that but changed lives. The lives ended.
The butt hurt across the world.
Literally.
Literally.
Oh my God. Like, the like tension, the silence.
Yep.
The like realization that dawns on Logan's face immediately when he says, but.
But.
Oh God. That's cinema, it's baby.
Perfect.
This is the best scene in television history. And I mean it. Like, you know how all those memes about Succession are like people in like stock like suit photos?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very that.
Yeah.
And manages to be like the most groundbreaking scene in television history.
It's amazing.
This twist, oh my God.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm taking all the space here.
Well, it's like, what is there to say? You know, I can't recite exactly what he says after that. All I know is that it ends with, I think this is when his reign ends, or something along those lines.
What he says is, my father has kept a watchful eye over his empire.
Yes.
It is fanciful at best to assume there's been millions of dollars of settlement money that he did not directly approve. And then he says, I have documents with his name on it. And then it cuts to Greg.
Yep.
And do you remember in season one when Greg told him he had the documents?
Yep.
When? Was it on the plane? When did they kiki about this? Did they ever kiki about this? Did he blindside Greg? I actually don't remember. Like, I straight up fucking forget. I don't know how season three, episode one starts. But, like, Greg's got documents in his hand, and maybe he talked to Greg about it. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he blindsided Greg. But either way, he's like, it is ridiculous that my dad doesn't know about this. And so you all need to know that he did it, and his reign is coming to an end.
Yeah.
Period.
So Greg knew that this was coming.
I don't know. It's not clear. Oh, man. Because Greg is holding that folder, and it doesn't say receipts on the folder, but, like, it's that same yellow folder, so we don't know if it's those documents or not. But we do know that Greg told Kendall in season one, I have Cruz documents that are incriminating. Yeah. And we know that Greg and Kendall had this whole plane ride together, and then Greg and Kendall arrived at the same time.
Yeah.
It could be that Kendall just, like, overplayed his hand and knew... Because, again, I don't know. I don't remember how season three, episode one goes.
Right.
It could be that Kendall overplayed his hand and just, like, knew that Greg had documents.
Yeah.
And just lied. I don't know.
My galaxy brain here wants to go, Kendall and Greg have had this since the beginning. And when it came time to when it was... It looked like it was going to be Tom. Tom tried to push Shiv to push for Tom so that Tom could get... Sorry, wait. So, Greg wanted it to be Kendall Never mind. I'm going to abandon this theory.
All right.
I was going to say.
I don't think Greg is playing chess. I think he's playing checkers.
He's not.
And I mean that.
I was about to jump through like 7 different people, but I'm like, it's not as satisfying. Yeah. He tears apart his note cards.
Yes. And then
and walks out.
That shot of like him walking out with like all those paparazzis and Carolina being like, fuck, fuck, fuck. Oh, so good.
It's amazing.
And then the final shot of the season is it cuts to Logan and he smiles. He
smiles.
Yum, yum, yum.
It's amazing.
I love it.
Because it's like he sort of sees that, you know, he knows Kendall did that to be like, I'm a killer and I still could do this job. Like, I'm not out of the running here.
And yet, it permanently enshrines that he's out of the running because there's no way he would ever be CEO of that company.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, it's kind of a final fuck you of, like, I do have the skills to do this, and you never realized it, and now I'm out forever.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Because there's no coming back from this.
Right.
There's no coming back from my dad's reign of terror ends now.
Yeah.
Like, just attaching your name to a hostile takeover bid, that's one thing, but going on public TV and saying my dad is a monster, you're never working there again.
Yeah.
His login is getting deleted so fast.
Well, I feel like, yeah, Logan kind of likes the idea of a war going on here. Like, there's something nice about it.
It's sort of like, game on, bitch.
Right, yeah. It's a phenomenal ending.
Yeah, because, you know, Logan is many things. He's completely fucked. Yeah. But he is a guy who likes a challenge. And you know what? I think he can admire the quality in his son that he did not see before. I think that's kind of what the smile is.
Right, right. Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Sorry, there's just a lot to piece together here.
You okay?
Nah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else there is to say about it, is the thing.
Who do you think won and lost?
I wrote Kendall like 3 times in the winner. I mean, it's a pretty... We can all say like what happens next, but like when the world watched this and no one knew it was coming next, it's like, yeah, Kendall is on top of the world.
Yeah.
He's the coolest guy. And yeah.
You know what? I mean, like, yeah, I guess he did escape his fate of going to prison.
He's never going to be CEO.
Yeah. So in that way, that's why I have a hard time calling him the winner.
Right.
But I guess he doesn't get what he wants. He gets what he needs.
Yeah.
Which, like, he is now permanently severed ties with the family company.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
We can't. The thing is, even when I look at everybody else, it's like everyone. You could argue there are winners. Like, maybe Tom got out of it, but Tom has got to be the most hated guy at the company right now, because right. It's like, if they had gone with him, none of this Kendall shit would have happened.
Right.
And I think about that. I'm like, Tom could have prevented all of season 3. But yeah, that's the beautiful thing about it.
I honestly think Roman won.
Yeah, because we kind of skipped over when they announced that Kendall's going to be the one. Logan's like, Roman will be COO.
With no Frank at his sales.
Yeah, no more Frank. To which, there's a really sweet moment when Kendall is like really happy for him that he's going to be COO.
Yeah.
Also, maybe it's like, I'm trying to read that now, because it's like you have to look back at that scene knowing Kendall's plans the entire time and hearing how they're going to...
And that smile?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he knows all their plans, like what they're going to do, and now he's going to go kill it. And it's very interesting.
I guess then you could make the argument that he did not... I mean, like, again, I'm not going to go against Jeremy Strong's word here, but you could make the argument that he didn't formulate the plan, like, until the plane or until, like, literally the second before he walked in or, like, whatever. Like, because that seems like such a sincere moment with him and Roman.
Yeah, but, yeah. Mm-mm. Who's to say? Yeah, that's... loser...
It's everybody else. I mean, loser women. Loser women. Yeah. Because, mind you, this is kind of fun about the show. We're, like, I guess not rooting for, but, like, the characters that we're meant to empathize with and, like, you know, spend all our time with, they are doing a horrible thing.
Yeah.
They are trying to, like, save their own asses, even though their company, like, fucked over, I assume, thousands of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. Twisted and backwards. So, you know who loses? The general public. Like, women, sex workers, democracy.
Right, right. I would say if we are gonna have to name one loser, it's probably Shiv.
Yeah,
because this is her fault at the end of the day, because she wasn't able to kill Tom, and you know, I would, she is just as out of the CEO position as Kendall is, in my opinion.
Right.
Which is why it's so great that Roman's season is the next season, because it's
yeah.
the logical place to go.
They set him up for it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that this show is just Logan running out of options. Like, every season, just like, well, fuck, we're down to Roman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
I think...
Maybe Connor's going to be CEO in season 4.
There's going to be way more, I think, to say about this episode specifically the deeper into season 3 we get.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's... I find myself thinking about this episode a lot because so many things, I guess, are planted here that, mm-hmm. that come out fully in season 3. And it's just a very defining moment for the show that it's
yeah.
like, it's not the same show moving forward.
No.
I don't know if you watched the first episode of season 3, but it's...
Not yet.
Having rewatched everything, it's a different show. It's kind of...
Oh, because wasn't there also a pandemic between...
There's an entire pandemic as
Damn,
well.
Damn, that's funny.
But
that sucks.
Yeah, but anyway, that's the season 2 finale.
Finale of Suck Off.
We completely abandoned the audience who won this episode thing.
Fuck.
I'm just...
It's kind of fun.
It's fun. I want to see who decided on... Well, actually, no, that's not. Never mind. Wait, yes, it is working. Okay, who won this episode for the Dundee episode? Hazel Z-L-E says...
Don't hurt yourself.
This user says, I believe the sand mites won this round, Your Honor.
that's a good one.
Which is fun. Anyway, that's the
Man,
finale.
I can't wait to talk about season 3, episode 9 live. That's going to be fucking nut.
That's going to be insane.
And then to do our season 4, episode 1 watch party, which mm-hmm. I assume at this point tickets have sold out, but if they're still available,
who's
go
to
grab
say,
them.
Yeah, this is going to be out next week. So Anyway, thanks for listening. Anything to plug?
Our live show.
Our Instagram. Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I have this other podcast and I have friends and fans from it. Friend of the pod, Elijah, was like, I did not realize you guys had a suck off Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. Huh.
Yeah, we do.
Yep.
And you should follow it.
At suck off pod.
Yep.
Like a comet burning in the sky. You know, you only have a small chance to follow the suck off pod.
Yeah.
I think we should delete it.
We should. That's so funny.
Amazing. So follow it while you can, because yep. I think it's going to be deleted after season 4 is done and the podcast is done.
Delete all the episodes of the podcast? This never happened.
Holy shit, it's hysterical.
Anyway, thanks for listening, and as always,
suck off!